You are listening to Around the Block Podcast, your source of knowledge about Bitcoin, blockchain, and cryptocurrency markets. Presented to you by Yellow Block.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Around the Block. Today we have the Crypto Monk, and we have Crypto Rangutang, and myself, Teddy, for this episode. We want to speak about yield farming, a little bit what it is, and some tips that we might have for you. And then we want to touch on decentralized finance services that are being offered by also centralized entities like Binance or Crypto.com, for example. And finally, we want to talk about the new coin, which is called Uni, that is being delivered, airdropped by most of crypto Twitter. So let's just jump straight into yield farming. So if you guys have never heard of farming, what farming is, let me just explain it to you in a very, very simple manner. You essentially get one of your coins, you lock it up on an exchange for a specific amount of time, and by doing so, you earn a reward for a specific token. The process of farming involves you getting this token and selling it immediately for a profit. It's very, very simple. So you stake coins, you get a reward, and you sell this reward for a profit. That's pretty much what farming is, kept very, very simple. So let me just ask you guys, is farming a Ponzi? Is it sustainable long term, or is it something that can go on for the years to come?
Well, I would say that since technically it's quite close to what we make in the legacy finance, we use the same principles we use for banks. So are banks a Ponzi? I mean, when you deposit some money on your bank account, and when the same bank basically uses your money to offer some loans, is it a Ponzi?
It kind of depends on what kind of project are we talking about. Right now, the reputation is that most of the farming is basically the masternodes 2.0, which is you get in quickly, you make some money, and you get out before anyone else, before it rug pulls. And I think that that definition is kind of accurate, because that's how most of the projects right now look. If it's done without some ridiculous APRs, not sure if it's sustainable long term. But this is definitely something that is a new trend that should be much more serious and long lasting than masternodes were.
Uniswap, to me, it's not different than the traditional banking system, except that it's fully decentralized. So there is no regulations. And the problem right now is that, well, many people are comparing it to BitConnect because it's basically offering crazy, stupid returns for some people that can stake with huge amount of money. The problem I have with that is, what is going to happen if basically a whale in this system would be someone offering a crazy amount of liquidity. What would happen if those huge pools decided to pull out? I think it would just collapse on its own base. At the end of the day, it would again be the retail investors that would get fucked, or the traders that decide to, because not many people are interested in farming. Many people are just trading and swapping those coins for Ethereum and playing just swing plays. I think that it's hard to say what's going to happen in the future, but what concerns me is the fact that you have huge players that could literally decide to exit a liquidity pool, and that would mean that the game is over, basically. Like a castle of cards, it could just collapse.
Well, it's definitely a very active way of staking. I mean, when you normally stake, you can stake it there for 1 year or 6 years, whatever you want to do, and just let it be. While with farming, you definitely have to be a lot more proactive with your management of capital. It's a good point that you sort of mentioned BitConnect and sort of farming. I think that the main difference here, the main misconception, is the fact that with BitConnect, you have a centralized token that is volatile. Well, very often farming, you can use stable coins. So if the token can't essentially go to zero because it's pegged to the dollar. So at least you can get your money back. I think that another key difference is the fact that, of course, farming is mostly done on decentralized platforms, while Bitconnect was a centralized platform. So anybody that was sort of behind the scene called somewhat access funds. And I think that finally the difference is the fact that when you farm, the beauty of it is that you have a lot of solutions that have flexible plans, meaning that you can farm for 5 minutes, you can farm for a day, or you can farm for a year. That's how, you know, it's up to you how long you want to stake your funds. Well, I mean, somebody has to correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that on Bitconnect, your funds were locked for X amount of time, meaning that if something went to shit real quick, there was no way for you to actually take the money out. You just had to watch it go down to zero. I think that this is one of the key differences. So I think that as long as the code is correct, farming on these centralized platforms is probably a million times safer than any sort of known Ponzi like Bitconnect. But so, you know, we're talking about risks and shit that can go wrong. What do you guys think are the main factors that could make this a risky industry?
Basically greed. Like you have, you know, this when farming first launched, you had this few projects that everyone jumped on, and then you have these forks happening, dozen of forks a day with new burgers, sushis, pizzas, whatever you want to call them. They have very, very high APRs, and they are made with the purpose of doing a rug pull, probably in the same day or maybe the day after. So the main risk is basically like you knowing what you're getting into. If you understand that you're getting into a scam, but you want to still profit from it, well, if you're quick enough, you can actually make money on it. But if you just jumping in and hoping that, you know, you can just farm it and leave it for a while without the consciousness that, you know, this actually might blow up 5 minutes after you entered, then you might be in trouble and you're probably going to be on the bad side of the trade most often than not.
Yeah, the biggest risk actually is basically taken by the people who trade those tokens. Because those are the people, it's basically a hot potato they're trying to pass to each other. And until the rug is pulled. And that's what have been happening since the inception of Uniswap. Another issue I have with it is that it's completely designed for a niche of geeks. It's definitely not retail friendly. So, I mean, I couldn't hook up one of my just basically normie friends into it because it's way too complicated to understand. I mean, even if he understands the basic principles of a bank, I would have to explain him so many different things linked in regards to the Ethereum network that the guy would just lose interest in just 5 minutes of explanation.
I mean, it's an issue, but at the same time, I think that it's also a blessing. I mean, if farming would have been 10 times easier, 100 times easier, it would have involved a lot of people that were not as tech savvy. Look, I've been in crypto full-time for 3 or 4 years now, and it took quite a bit of time for me to get my head around farming. You know, you put in some coins as a liquidity provider, you get back a Y coin, then you can get that. There are so many bloody things that go left and right, and so I'm kind of happy that it's not as simple as people expected it to be, because at least it keeps out a lot of noobs. And you would have expect that if you are technologically advanced enough to understand what's going on with farming, you're most probably also aware of the consequences. The people that are getting hurt are the people that are buying these tokens for speculative purposes. So like people that have never farmed but are going on Binance to buy sushi. So those are the people that are going to get hurt, but not really the farmers as well, because those people understand this industry probably better than we do, that the three of us do from a technological standpoint.
People are not capable of even canceling the transaction on ETH network right now. So the fact that most of the people don't know how to farm right now is a good thing. The market is open, and it's like everybody is their own boss here. If you are getting into risky investments without knowing what you're doing, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for the market. It's just, you know, certain individuals will just be at a loss here. But I think it's better that we have these opportunities, even if people will get wrecked on them, than if you wouldn't have it. Because, well, the market evolves in a ways that I personally didn't thought were going to come in 2020. When we think that the market is maturing, we suddenly get, you know, farming and Uniswap and everything is decentralized, and we get even more shitcoins than we had before. Like, whenever you think this is going into like a normal serious direction, we just pivot and we just do it much more crypto than we thought crypto can be.
Well, one, I could not agree more. I mean, the moment that I thought that the market finally matured and that we were sort of starting to look at fundamentals, out of the blue, we started buying and selling tokens called ramen, sushi, burger, fried, or whatever it might have been. So, I mean, it jumps in perfectly with the next topic, as we want to talk about how centralized exchanges are now offering products that are by nature decentralized, like DeFi. So you will have exchanges like Binance or Crypto.com that are offering vaults, swap, and liquidity providing services, meaning that you can put your funds in and pretty much farm, just to keep it very, very simple. So let me just, I just want to have a yes and no answer by you guys. Do you guys trust centralized exchanges?
I don't trust centralized exchanges with my money. Because we are in crypto to be responsible for our own money. That's like one of the biggest perks that we have. But for some people, it's a solid solution if you can say that you trust one exchange enough, which it's pretty personal, because every exchange is prone to being hacked. And basically, each exchange, maybe outside of Bittrex, had hacking attempts in the past. So you always need to be careful, but the times are changing. You cannot expect everyone to be in fully control of their funds.
What about you, Monk? Do you trust or you distrust centralized exchanges? What's your brief view on it?
It's a tough one, because I mean, it depends on the reputation of the exchange actually. But of course, I would never leave a ridiculous amount of money on an exchange. This is the most stupid thing you could do in the crypto space. Other than that, if you are just talking about trading, like daily trading, even for some, I don't know, swing trades, it's, to me, it's not a problem, depending on the reputation. I'm not going, for instance, many people know that I've had some issues publicly with HitBTC, which I like to call shitBTC, because they're basically shitty as fuck, and I'm pretty sure they are using users' fund to wash trade. So this is my definition of a centralized shitty exchange. But if we talk about, let's say, well, I was about to say Binance, but well, we know that we know that sometimes CZ can be a bit borderline, you know. So if I had to pick a centralized exchange that I would trust, that would be Kraken, for instance. They've been in Spain for a very long time. They never got hacked. And on top of that, you are forced to KYC. So I mean, even if a lot of people don't really like that, if I have to trust a centralized exchange, I want it to be KYC compliant.
I do trust centralized exchanges. I mean, the main ones, for the main reason that they, as long as they are insured. I mean, if something were to go wrong, for example, Binance got hacked, but they've managed to sort of cover all the money that went out with their out of their own pocket or the insurance. I don't really know where the money came from, but I mean, as long as you know that these exchanges have a lot of money to back up shit situations, I'm fine with it. But yeah, by nature, I of course have a bias towards decentralized ones. The reason that we're talking about this is because there are centralized exchanges that are offering decentralized services. So why do you guys think that there is a gap in the market for exchanges like Binance to offer DeFi?
Ease of use, basically. They know the exchange already. Like, the UI is a lot better. You don't have to pay some ridiculous fees right now to use it, to even access it. I am in crypto also for a few years right now, and it can get overwhelming at times. Like, when the whole Uniswap MetaMask thing came in, it also took me a while to be fluent with everything that is happening there. And I can imagine that for some people that do not spend 12 hours a day in crypto like we do, this is just probably not worth the time. Even if there is a lot of profit in it, the profit is also only for a handful of people that actually know how to flip shitcoins. So centralized exchanges are, you know, you want everything in one place. And the role of centralized exchange is to basically give it to you so that whenever you feel like you're missing on some important part of the market right now, which is DeFi, the centralized exchange should give you at least some taste of it.
Yeah, look, that's exactly it. So if I'm on SushiSwap and on Y Finance, if I'm farming, it means that I'm literally in front of my computer and not moving my glance from it. Pretty much with the same aggressive stance that I do have when I'm trading. On the other hand, I do actively, and I'm putting some brackets here, actively trade on Binance because I'm going to touch wood, but it's so safe in the sense that I do have a bunch of stable coins on Binance. And instead of just leaving them in my spot wallet, I might as well just get them and throw them on a flexible stacking service where, as we speak, you're actually farming coins. So let's say that you get, whether it's 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 USDT, actually it has to be BUSD. You get them and you put them in a flexible savings account. You do get, I think it's 5-7% API. So you earn money just by leaving it there. But then every single hour you earn a specific token. So a few days ago, it was the BEL token, BEL. And I think that today you can farm a token that is called WING. So just by having funds in that wallet, you are automatically earning WING that you can sell at the end of each day. So, I mean, why not? It's definitely a safe place to go and put some stable coin.
They're filling a gap in the market. That's basically what I was talking about previously when I said that Uniswap wasn't really user-friendly for people that don't want to, waste their time digging into it and trying to understand how it works. So, I mean, it's, like you said, it's definitely easier for someone that is a bit lazy to just basically use Binance and try to farm on the platform instead of just using another one and setting up basically a MetaMask wallet and trying to, it's way easier this way for most of people that just casually trades there.
I will very happily earn less if it means that all I have to do is to put money, just transfer money, not even like make a transaction, but just sort of move money from my spot wallet to my savings wallet. If that's all I have to do, if all I have to do is move money from A to B within the same app, I will gladly earn less than going on a decentralized solution platform and have to basically do 300 things at the same time. So I think that as long as decentralized solutions are not user-friendly enough or smooth enough for retail users, centralized solutions like Binance and Crypto.com will always have a gap in the market for them to fulfill. What do you guys think of Binance, for example, listing coins like Sushi? Should they do so or should they not?
This is what CZ mentioned before, which is, first of all, we know what happened with Sushi. It was like the whole drama, the developer sold the stack, market selling, dumping the price, then FTX, Sam took it over, blah, blah, blah. There was a lot of stuff around it. But the point is, before Sushi imploded and went down 75%, it was listed, for example, on Binance, where CZ admitted that he didn't know who the main developer is, but he needs to list coins like that because otherwise he would lose a market share. Everyone has a different opinion on this, I guess. My take is that when you are running a centralized exchange, your role is to kind of protect all the users. Of course, everyone is responsible for themselves, so it cannot be mad for him trying to, be up to date with the market, but not doing any sort of due diligence, not even knowing who the main developer is not the kind of behavior that I would expect from probably the biggest exchange in the industry. As much as there is a lot of shit happening right now, and there's a lot of tokens that get massive attention, I don't think everything should land on centralized exchange because people who trade there especially don't do their due diligence because they expect that if you are the biggest exchange in the world right now in crypto, well, I can expect you to do that for me. What are your takes on this one?
Well, I fully disagree. I mean, I don't think that exchanges are there to protect you. Again, I think I already said this before. Because if exchanges were there to protect you, make sure that you're safe, they sure as fuck will not, for example, just put 125x leverage because a coin drops 0.75% and you liquidate it. Exchanges are there to make money. It's a business for profit. It's not a no-profit organization that is there to protect cryptocurrency users. So I think that, again, decentralized solutions are getting better and better and more adopted. So I think that centralized solutions like Binance have to do whatever it is possible to remain relevant. And sometimes it may involve listing coins like Sushi just because you're hyped. I think it would have been wrong, very, very, very wrong, if Binance implemented a API to farm Sushi. At that point, yeah, I think that's fucked up because, I mean, it means that they were actively promoting Sushi's platform. But I think as long as they're just listing their token, they're just adding liquidity to a token that is hyped and illiquid. So I don't think they did anything bad there. I mean, yes, CZ didn't know who the developer was, but there are a ton of coins that are fully decentralized and anonymous and are on Binance. I mean, cryptocurrencies are by nature decentralized and can be anonymous. So I don't think that's really an issue. I'm sure that he did not expect the Sushi chef, aka the main developer, to sort of exit scam the project with 14 million. I mean, nobody really expected that to happen.
That's the point. I mean, not the listing itself. It's problematic is the way how he did it. Like, there is no education, no warning, no whatsoever. You're just listing a token and anybody thinks that it's as legit as any other alt on the exchange, not knowing that it's a super risky asset. Like, if you get few of these listings that end as bad as Sushi did, you kind of lose your reputation as a big exchange because, well, what are your, like, criteria of getting listed? Like, is it that low? Is it that shit that everything can get into Binance? I mean, it's business, but it's also bad business for him if he actually manages to list rug pulls and do nothing about it.
Regarding Sushi, they jumped on the hype like a dog on a bone. So I don't know. I don't know what to think about that, but it just shows that there is a gap between what they do and what they say. And that's a huge problem.
In my opinion, as long as he is just listing these coins, there's nothing wrong with them. It's different if you purposely endorse the service. At that point, you're exposing yourself to a high degree of risk. But as long as you're just providing liquidity, in my opinion, you're just doing what your platform is supposed to do. I mean, nobody has to agree with me. This is just the way that I see it. I think that if you buy a coin just because it's listed on Coinbase, at some point, you're bound to lose a lot of money. I mean, you can't just buy something because it's listed on Coinbase. On Binance, but even Coinbase. But anyhow, so just to keep it very short, do you guys think that the Sushi situation will get resolved and the token will go up in value and the platform will get used like back in the day in terms of transactions? Or is the platform bound to die now?
I think with all generally Uniswap and DeFi coins, is the same situation that we had with previous regular altcoins, let's call them, which is like it had enormous hype, but I don't think that Sushi itself is innovative enough to keep it alive and to have some huge promises for it. You know, the hype was there, it died down, there's a lot of shit around it, like people are going to move on to something else. That's it. This was just a very cool crypto story, I guess.
No, I agree. I think that we are essentially bound to die and then find a less lucrative but stable solution. I don't know if it will be centralized or decentralized, but I think that products like Sushi are just experiments that will lead to more solid solutions. So let's just jump in the last topic, which, unless you live under a rock, it's going to be about the Uniswap coin, which is Uni. The Uniswap coin is a governance token for the Uniswap protocol, meaning that the more tokens you have, Uni tokens, the more relevant your opinion will be when making decisions within the governance of Uniswap being a decentralized solution. The reason that we're talking about it now and everybody's talking about it now is because they recently did an airdrop, meaning that if you had at least one trade on Uniswap before September 1st, you are entitled to an airdrop, which as of today, it's worth, I think, around 3 Ethereum, which is $1,400, which is a substantial amount of money to give or to just to give to everybody. So, I mean, did you guys receive any uni? Are you guys gonna sell it? Are you guys gonna hold it? Are you guys gonna trade it? What are you gonna do with this whole uni craze? It's probably gonna die out in 2 days.
Okay, so I got mine. I got 400. I thought I got a little bit more accounts that I could claim from as well, but I didn't, sadly. I sold mine because when I woke up and I saw that I just got some random money and everyone got it, I thought that it's probably not the best idea to hold it. But to be honest, right now when the price is recovering and considering like how big Uniswap is and how well basically the price held through everyone, because I think it was 90,000 different addresses were able to claim it at the moment we are recording the podcast. So there was a lot of absorbing of the selling, and there were a lot of airdrops in the past that did tons of money, like 1,200 is not a lot considering how big Uniswap is right now. One thing that a lot of people, I think, do not see is that there was a huge amount and will be a huge inflow of people that just had their first experience with Uniswap. Which basically, I'm not saying that, you know, each shitcoin is right now going to pump, but if you thought that Uniswap is just one of those small trends that are going to, you know, disappear in a few weeks, like any other small trend in crypto, well, I think Uniswap right now is here 100% sure to stay, and is going to be one of the more significant players and exchanges in the space. It already is. I think it's in top 10 volume. Decentralized exchange, which most people still have trouble using. So if the, you know, if the education about how to use it and general exposure to Uniswap is going to increase, I think it's going to give huge and enormous opportunities, not only for the traders and shitcoin hunters, but also for the projects, you know, to launch small pre-sales and start developing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the issues that we had, for example, with ICOs is that regardless of how solid and how much money you raised, you still had to look for an exchange that was going to list you. What now? I mean, you can create a project and just list it the next day on Uniswap. I mean, that's the beauty of decentralized exchanges. So it's definitely going to be used for the foreseeable future. I think it goes without saying, you know, we are in a period right now where there's a lot of pre-sales, sales, public sales, and I mean, they're all getting listed within a week or two on Uniswap. It's a very exciting and dynamic market that we're experiencing right now. However, I'm relatively concerned with regards to the price of Uni, in a sense that, I mean, I might be completely wrong, but I mean, 90,000 addresses have received an airdrop. I'm pretty confident that at least half of them, if not a lot more, want to sell it. I mean, there's going to be a lot and a lot and a lot of sell pressure, especially considering that people got this money for free and they're just waiting for the perfect moment to sell.
That's questionable. I mean, I would say that a lot of people already sold. And if you watch the books, yeah, there were those huge amount of 400 uni sales and a few very big buys.
The selling pressure is not that, even if it's strong, I think it's holding quite well, actually.
Yeah, plus remember, it's already on Binance as well, and on FTX, for example. It's already on the biggest exchanges.
Regarding the hype for this one, actually, it might be literally the one of the very few ones I might be interested in actually even buying a bit later. I mean, it's definitely a token that is worth keeping an eye on.
Just a matter of a good timing to catch a potential uptrend on this.
Yeah, it basically could be the, you know, when Binance was literally at the top of the hype and actually literally 99% of people were trusting it blindly. I mean, BNB was having a hell of a ride even during the bear market, and I think that Uniswap is literally some sort of, it's literally the Binance of DEX, so it will perform quite well. I'm pretty sure about that. Honestly, I hardly doubt that it's going to be a token that might be worth peanuts in a few months from now.
I mean, as you guys said, I sure as hell would not build a position today. I will wait for the price to go up and go down and whatever, just for the hype to die down a little bit. Because, look, to me, it seems surreal that 90,000 people that received an average of 400 tokens, which is worth, let's say, 1,500, I doubt that all these people will have a bag that is worth 10 times more, that they all just got 10 grand for free. I think that a lot of people need to get flushed down before that we can have a serious uptrend. Again, the sell pressure might not be there now, but a lot of people have a lot of tokens that have to be sold. And I think that it's a matter of time before that happens. Whether they're waiting for higher levels, whether they're waiting for the levels that, you know, that we had this morning, I don't know. But trust me that, you know, people will want to get rid of these tokens because it's just basic greed. I mean,
am I the only one that claimed the tokens, or did you guys have it as well?
No, I had 400 tokens. I mean, I literally traded two or three times on Uniswap.
Actually, if I may add something to that, I would be way more concerned about the older projects and all the coins from 2016, 2017 that literally didn't anticipate the Uniswap hype than for the newest tokens such as Uni. I mean, if you take a look at, there are so many older projects that are actually still tradable on exchanges, but with the volume that is completely drying, because people are losing interest about them, and it's partially because of that Uniswap mania in a way. And it literally looks like, I mean, some projects that might look actually legit are completely disregarded by the community right now. So I would be way more concerned about these projects and these tokens than the actual new generation of tokens.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's so easy to list coins today on Uniswap that, I mean, I'm not here to call anybody out because I'm sure that these guys have the best intentions ever, but there's already two or three active community members on crypto Twitter. So, you know, young guys in their mid-20s that have launched projects and raised money through sales that then I'm going to be listed on Uniswap. I think you guys know what I'm talking about. So it definitely, if there were barriers to entries in blockchain, Uniswap just completely fucking demolished them to the ground. As long as you have a decent website, of course, a good product and good intentions, you can raise a lot of money quickly if you're trying to make bank quite quickly. So again, it's risky, but I mean, off topic from the Uniswap. So I hope to all of our listeners that you enjoyed what we talked about today. Again, if you have suggestions of what we can talk about in the next podcast, please comment below or get in touch through our Telegram or Twitter accounts. I think it goes without saying, as I say in every single podcast, that we are just random dudes on the internet. We are not financial advisors. So everything that we say here is just complete speculation. So please do your own research. Peace out, guys.
Enjoyed this episode of Around the Block? Make sure you tune in for the next one. And don't forget all the free content awaiting you on our website. And if you can, please leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Thank you.